Yeah.
Danny Boatwright.
Okay, next person. Anyone else want to announce who they are, please? Okay.
This is Tim Myers.
Oh, Tim. Hey, Tim. How you doing?
Good. All
right. And anybody else?
Nick Pettitucci.
Budget worksheet.
I'm sorry?
Same information, but it does in case you...
Nick Pettitucci.
Oh, Nick, okay, thank you. All right,
makes sense.
Okay, it is 7 o'clock. I'm going to call the meeting to order. I would ask folks, if you would, on the phone, listen in, obviously, but give us a chance to get to the point where we in for questions or what have you. Okay, as people... Oops, sorry.
Can you hear fire? No, I want you.
Oh. Okay, we have an agenda. Go ahead.
Andy.
Oh, I am. Oh, that's what I'm going to do first. Okay. Yeah, anyone that has seen the agenda, we're going to kind of reverse it a little bit. The very first thing we're going to do is recognize and do the board memberships and officers and so on as we're going to do at the moment. So we first on my agenda would be that we're going to welcome Bill Moore, who was elected for Ridgewood as a new board member this evening. And we're also going to ask, I'm going to ask the board for a motion. I have Claudia's letter here of resignation, and we have an opening, and Neil ran in that race and only lost by a few votes, so we only thought it appropriate to ask him if he would serve, and he has agreed to that. So I would like a motion to appoint Neil to the board position that is opening for Claudia.
I make that motion to appoint Neil Wortham Jr. to the board.
What community is that one? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mayflower.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you, and do I get a second?
I'll second it.
Is there any discussion? Okay. In that case, I will ask a vote. Show of hands, please, all those in favor of having Neil on board. It's unanimous, 6. So welcome, Neil. Thank you for being willing to serve. Okay, next we have a, I would like to give the floor to, I'm sorry. Well, he's already, I just recognized him. He's coming on board, yeah. And he's the new member of Ridgewood. I wanted to give the floor to Carol to, she would like to make an announcement.
Okay. I have just a little statement. As we start a new year, I'm encouraged at the last minute. Excuse me. By the last minute resolution of the insurance dilemma that we faced. And thanks to the efforts of our President Joe Carr, Don Britton of Foxborough, and Patty Windham, also of Foxborough, the Meadows is definitely headed in the right direction. In November, I was asked to take the treasurer's decision, replacing Tim Graham, and I did accept it, and I took it with reservation, but I believe that all people excel at something, and I excel at my organizational skills, and I excelled at solving problems, okay? And when we came under this budget crisis, I realized I was in over my head. So I did what I did best, and I solved my problem. And I went to Patty Van Lingham because she is very capable of doing this budget, which she did. So with that, I'm resigning from the board. I'm resigning as the Foxborough director, effective immediately. And I'm recommending that Patty Van Lingham takes that position because it's really what's best for Foxborough and what's best for the Meadows because she has the know-how, and we need that. We really do, going forward. Tim put in many years, and now Patty's going forward. So
I appreciate it, Carol. You've been amazing, and I always thought that you did an outstanding job, and I know it was tough. We accept your recommendation. I need a motion to accept Carol's resignation. Since it's not written, can we get a motion to accept that?
With heartfelt.
Yes,
and a second.
Okay, and a vote to accept Carol's resignation. Show of hands, please. Okay. And thank you.
Thank you.
With our deepest gratitude. All right, I need a motion because I believe in exactly what Carol said about Patty. I've worked closely with her. She has volunteered and worked closely with those in authority. She didn't take the authority. She volunteered to help us and put in her talent, and that was amazing. It was beyond amazing, and it helped us through a very tough crisis. And as all you probably know, we saved over $300,000 on insurance because we changed brokerages and got someone that really fought and made it happen. But in the meantime, the budget kept changing every other day because of the things we were up against. So I would like to have a motion from the floor to have Patty come on as the representative of Foxborough, please.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, can I get a second?
Neil will second.
Neil?
No.
That's okay. Okay. Can I get a show of hands to bring Patty on the board? Okay. I'm sorry. Can you keep your hands up? I think you were dissenting. So we have 1, 2, 3. First, Carol's off now. So we have 5. I'll show 5. We have 6 on the motion. Okay. And I would ask that Patty come forward and take the seat. And thank you again, Carol.
We'll have elections.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And I also would ask for a motion at this time that we make Patty the treasurer of the board. Can I get a motion on that?
I make the motion that we make Patty Bedlam-Ham the treasurer of our board.
Can I get a second on that? Yuri will second it. All right. Is there any discussion? Okay. All right. I would ask a show of hands of all the board members that approve.
Dan Houston.
Okay. Okay. You can vote for yourself. You're on the board. Okay. Thank you. The show is six hands in voting for Patty.
You're just abstaining because you don't know.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I have nothing against her. I'm just
okay.
I don't know, but not
that. All right. So we have. So now we have. And we have one other very important place to fill, Ms. D.
We are looking for a new vice president, and I can't think of anybody better to fill that place is Yuri Paraga. I make a motion to make Yuri Paraga our next vice president.
Can I get a second for that?
How
do you second that? Can I get a show of hands to that support? And again, you can vote for yourself. And she can vote for herself. All right, so we have 6 again and voting for Yuri to be vice president. So now we have a president, a vice president, a treasurer, a secretary, and 7 board members. What a delight. Good. Got that out of the way. And we have the officers done, so we're good with that. The next thing I'd like to bring up before we go on to the budget is an item that became near and dear to my heart, and that's the bathrooms. Unbelievable. Anyway, I had no knowledge of it until the 16th of December when I finally got a chance to go there because I don't go to the pool. But I am, for people who don't know, I'm a project manager, and I just finished $1,450,000 on an oceanfront house in Jupiter Island, so I do these things. I know what I'm doing. Anyway, I met with Scott from Reuben Homes, and there is no Reuben, by the way. Reuben sold that division of his company. There is no Reuben, so that's just name only. And Scott told me he and Tiffany were in charge, and they assured me when I questioned about the bathroom conditions and why we were so far behind, for many, many stories, and I won't belabor all that, but he assured me on the 16th of December, a Friday, Mark was there, that the following Wednesday, or no later than Thursday, the ladies' room would be stellar, done, all of the punch-out list, everything would be ready. they could open it up and then start on the men's room after the first of the year. I said, okay, show me. Well, up until the time that I had to take the step to restrain them from doing any more, they did nothing. Never came once from the 16th of December all the way up to New Year's. Never came. So I took it, because I called them and questioned them about all this, they said they were coming Monday, or Tuesday rather, after New Year's, with a dumpster to demo the men's room. I said, how can you demo the men's room? The ladies' room's not done. And, of course, there were all kinds of excuses again. And I said, okay, guys, we're done. We're done. I called Deborah and got advice that we had the capability to cancel the contract. The contract says the owner, being the Meadows, has the right at any time to cancel the contract with or without cause. So very simple decision as far as that goes. And I haven't heard a person since I have gotten involved in bathrooms say one positive thing about the work there. Nobody. So I don't think I went against the grain with my decision to put a halt to them. But that's a halt. What I need this evening, I'm asking the board to go to the motion and vote on this to actually officially cancel the contract, because we need to move on and get this done properly. There were promises made that couldn't be kept because of them, and these poor people worked so hard and were stonewalled, and they tried their best to get things done and fixed, and it was never done, and all they did was complain about these ladies trying to give them insight about what they wanted when they should have been listening. So I was very upset. So the bottom line is I'm looking for a motion from the board that we officially end the contract with Ruben Holmes for the bathrooms. Can I get that motion?
A motion to cancel the contract. With
okay. Can I get a second on that?
I'll second it.
Okay. Can I get any discussion?
You second it?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
No.
Yay.
Huh?
Yay.
Yay? Oh. Okay. All right. Can I get a show of hands? All those in favor cancel the contract. We've got a unanimous. The board is unanimous to cancel the contract. On the plus side of things, I'm already looking for contractors, and I had a contractor out at 5 o'clock today who's willing to put a bid in, and I know of them and their work, and they in turn will put in a bid, and we're going to get others. We're going to look for some others and try and get this rolling as soon as possible. And the lady has a question.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but can you just tell me what happens with the money that was already paid in this contract?
Oh, that's all being, first of all, they didn't get paid in full. They got paid money that we are all auditing. We're auditing every penny. I've been very nice to them. I sent them a letter requesting what inventory we own that they possess, what inventory they say that they are expensed but we never paid for. We will settle up with them. There's very little in my knowledge that was paid in labor, very little in my knowledge, that was paid to them for something they haven't completed. But I can't tell you that with authority until it's audited by, actually Pat was auditing that. Tim was doing it up till now, but Patty and he can work together, whatever they feel best.
Maybe a total of $70.
Oh.
I'm sorry. That they owe us?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So.
And the materials.
And the materials. But I will open it up to the floor for discussion. We got a lot to get through here tonight, and I want to make sure. You're fired. What? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
How much have we paid them?
I don't have my sheet in front of me, but approximately half, because they supposedly finished the women's Patty, I think I gave you a copy of that.
We've paid them $40,890.62.
Right. And
today.
We have to reconcile it all. Trust me. We want to get that done. And if they start playing hardball, that's what Deborah does. She plays hardball back, and we'll get it done. And since we have the right to cancel the contract, I can tell you from my limited legal knowledge, they're going to be responsible for legal fees, because we're doing by contract what we're allowed, and if they start doing something wrong by contract, not amicably ending the contract, we have to do legal, then we're going to go after legal fees against them. So I'm hoping they're bright enough to realize that they have bigger and better things to do somewhere else and not be stupid. So hopefully it'll all work out. But we're working on it. It's a work in progress, and I tell you from my knowledge and background, we'll make it nice. And the ladies' room, I'm going to be straight up with you. Ladies, you're going to like the ladies' room very much. The guys, we don't care. I just want to tell you, we don't care. If it's clean and the urinals and the toilets work, we're great with that. Trust me. Trust me. And I've heard from, and I know Joe's there all the time, and he told me the same thing. So we're going to save money in the men's room. So we're going back in that ladies' room, and there absolutely will be 6 feet of nice tile. It's going to be done, and it's going to be done right. We are going to make it so the ladies are very, very happy with the ladies' room, and the guys will be fine. It'll be clean, done, serviceable, really nice, but we're just not going to waste money taking all that tile down. New floor, new baseboard, new sinks, new stall doors, new toilets, okay. Urinals are fine, you know, but we can save the money.
You want to go out for a little walk?
No blow in the budget. We will go in there and do it without going over budget. So that's our plan at the moment. So that one we can move on. Okay, we've got the board members' term. Okay, like I said, most of you, I think, all know about the insurance, and now we're with Heritage, and we've saved over $300,000, so there's no special assessments anymore. The quarterlies are up from what they were last year, and it's maybe a little bit significant, but not near worst-case scenario that we stated when we had the meeting at the church that night with so many people there. We had numbers that were at the peak we thought would be worst-case scenario, and we're down from that. Not only are we down from that, but those numbers didn't reflect the fact that we had two special assessments we were going to have to do on top of those maximum quarterlies, one this spring, one next spring. Let me tell you what that really meant by not having to do that. Next year, we're already saving by taking what we're asking for in the quarterlies that are now going to be. We're going to have a 25% of savings for next year's increase in insurance because we all know it's coming. The insurance companies are on a feeding frenzy for premium. So if we weren't putting away that money, we would next year be in the same shape again of not having enough money to pay insurance and go on heavy assessments. And the reason that's so important is think about this. If we had to pay this year that $850 instead of the $547 for our property building insurance, two assessments, next year that $850 turns into $1.1. That would mean the assessment in the spring would still be there, another assessment on top of it, and quarterlies going through the roof again. So we have eliminated all of that. No assessments in our future as we see it. We're praying, and we are saving enough, we hope, for next year's insurance. But even if it's a little over our 25%, we are so much better off because we saved that $300,000 we do not have to pay back to the reserves where we were going to borrow it from. So, and it's not me. The statement was made, Joe, there's 10 people. And there's, you know, I mean, with respect to the new guys, they didn't know anything about it. But between Tim, Yuri, Patty, Dee, myself, Carol, and Don, and Melanie, and all these people, there's a core group that was fighting like crazy for this neighborhood, and it was Don that got Joanne to call me. He didn't do anything out of line. He just called her and said, would you call our president? We need help. And when she called me, she and I dove in, and we put this thing on high speed, and she went to town and got this for us. And it was an amazing job. In 2 weeks, she did what our previous agent had the entire year to do. And I don't even want to go into some of the things that were done and what took place. The bottom line is Joanne got this job done from R.V. Johnson. And at that point, we told Keith, sorry, we're not going with you guys. We're going with Joanne. She did the work. She bailed us out. And that's the way it's going to be. So that's the way that went down. So our budget now had to be revised a few times. I've got probably a stack. That's okay. anyway, we've gotten to a final position now, and that's what this meeting was really all about, so we can approve an amended budget and let everybody know what their quarterlies are going to be for the different houses and different, you know, quads and capris and so forth. So at that, I would ask Patty to take and lead us through the budget, if you would.
Go through?
Yes, ma'am.
Does everybody have a copy of the,
the board? Yes.
Budget?
Yeah. No. We don't, I'm sorry, we didn't, this just, she finished this at like 3 o'clock. We didn't have a time to get them all printed up, but everyone will get copies. We will get everybody copies out ASAP. But she's going to give you the highlights and points that you need to know, which is the most important stuff.
And I know from sitting out there that you really want to know the bottom line, so we'll get that. Okay, so the first thing for the board members, because they're the ones that have to vote on it and approve it, the budget is essentially the same one that was sent out previously on, what day did we send it out? The one that we just, the quarterly dues that we just paid. What day did that budget go out? I've completely lost
it. It went out the 15th of December.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at any rate, if the budget has stayed the same. So I'll go through the differences. I think that might be a better way to go. If you look at the budget, everything at the top is just reflecting the new income from the assessment. Under transfers, there is a change there. In the previous budget, the one that we had that was the very high premiums, we also took as much money as we possibly could out of surplus cash. We are not doing that with this budget. Because we saved $300,000 on insurance, we want to give as much back to the people as possible, but we also, like Joe said, we want to preserve cash so that we're in a stronger financial position next year. It's very important to do that. And we had really cut our cash surplus down to an uncomfortable level. And so at this, and Tim and I worked together on this, we're now taking a total of $55,000 out of surplus cash to offset the increases that we have in the budget. So it's a win-win for everybody. It really is. Under the expenses, everything is the same as it is previously. I think I know this by heart in my sleep. Okay, what we have done, we have what is back in the budget at this point in time. When we were, the previous budget, we were robbing every penny that we could find in order to cover that huge insurance premium. We took out the driveway aprons, and on this budget, we had put them back in for the single families already, but now they're also back in for the Capri home. So the driveway apron repairs are back in the budget for the $5,000.
Good.
The other expenses remain the same as they were on the previous budget. And MDPOA, those are standard expenses. All of that remains the same for the board members down the bottom to the bottom of the first page. Okay. Then on the second page, on the top section, again, all of these, the very first line under insurance is what has changed. The common insurance is now $65,105. The Stanford Sonteris insurance is $226,719. And the Capri insurance is $314,442. The disbursement a little bit between the different policies was different than it was with the previous carrier. So there's been some swing in the quarterly dues for the Stanfords versus the Capris, but it's all based on the insurance policy. Everything else there is the same as what it was before, with the exception on line 96. In order to give back to the community, what we've found is that because we have no roving patrol, and what's happening without the roving patrol, there's a lot of people that are parking pickup trucks overnight, motorcycles overnight, they're leaving the trash cans overnight. There's a lot of violations that are increasing more and more frequently. So what we proposed putting into this, we put in a $35,000 budget to hire what we're going to call, for want of a better term at this point in time, a covenants compliance captain, who will be somebody that will drive around the neighborhood in Mark's golf cart between midnight and 4 a.m. and look for people that are violating our standards and actually address and put the covenant complaints in so that these people are notified and that they can get their act together and do what's right or start paying fines if they're going to refuse to follow the rules. So that's a bonus. That's something that we didn't have before in the budget now, so that's a pretty good bonus. The pool monitor is still there the same way it was in the other budget, so he's still there.
The next item, the next section is reserve funding. Reserve funding is the same as it was before. The difference is if you go down to the last two lines under reserve funding, they're under reserve funding because that's the way the template's written, but they're not reserves. They're just savings. So the first line is a landscape savings fund, and that one is a total of $30,000. Now, this savings fund was mentioned, it was a collaboration with Tim and Joe and Yuri. We all talked about this. We've cut our budget pretty close with our landscape replacement and various things. As I'm sure Mark will be glad to tell you, that we've cut our budget pretty close. So what we've done is, again, we've taken $30,000 that were set aside. So if we do have an emergency, if we do need something, we have a little bit of a savings account that we can actually draw on to help with that. So that's what that $30,000 fund is. The line below that is our insurance savings fund, and that comes to $140,000. And that is to save for next year, because we certainly don't want to get caught in the situation next year that we were in this year, because Tim took every penny we had out of surplus cash. We have been robbing Peter to pay Paul to get this taken care of, and it's been a huge effort. I've never seen a budget try to scrape together as many pennies as we did with this one. So, but this is a huge, huge bonus for next year. So, with all of that being said, now to get to the point with what people in the audience want to know, your quarterly dues for your quarterly assessments for your various categories, single families will be $1,025 a quarter, Stanford Sun Terrace $1,335 a quarter, and the Caprice $1,438 a quarter. So you can see it's substantially down from what that bill was that we got in December. I know some people have said, why isn't it down hundreds of dollars? But if we did that, we would be back in the same situation next year, and that would not be fair to any of you.
Okay. And one of the things she talked about with the person roving, we're talking a maximum of 16 hours a week. Four nights is plenty, because obviously, you know, they're not going to know the schedule, the people that violate, so there's no reason to waste money doing seven nights a week. And it may even be three nights, but we're going to keep it under that budget amount. But there's two things going to happen. One, we're going to stop the violations, and two, we'll generate some fines, because some people are hardcore. They don't listen when you even send them letters, and they are habitual. But they're going to be using the golf cart, so we don't have any auto insurance, no auto. They also, it's a very simple process. We're going to put an attaché case at the gate. The person comes in, picks up the attaché case. There's no real interaction with the guard. They get in the cart. They go, do their patrol, they bring it back. In the morning, the office gets the attaché case. It's got the camera, the report. Simple, simple, simple. They send out the violations, and people that we're no longer going to tolerate so many violations. And there's a ton. I've seen them myself, and it's not right. So many people try to follow the rules, and you have people just say, rules don't apply to me. Well, that's not going to work.
What type of person is this, though?
What?
Hire.
Oh, we're going to hire either a retired policeman or somebody. It's not going to police anything.
Okay.
This is strictly driving around, just looking, taking pictures, writing down the information. No interaction, no arguing, no nothing.
But did you say that person is going to send out?
No.
Okay.
The board, they just drop off they just do it. Drop it off, we take it, and the office does it. They just write a report, take pictures. That's all it is. So, are you destroying new board members?
No, I think we got it.
So, but the thing is, I'll call and give me a second, but this is going to be very, very simple, and that way neighbors don't have to report neighbors. They say, I saw you on my Ring camera, you reported me. We don't need that.
Good.
This person is a professional, going to be somebody real, and they do it, and said it's going to solve the problem. I believe within a couple months you're going to start seeing people get the idea they can't break the rules anymore. I'm sorry. Let me get her first. Yes, ma'am.
Let me clarify. You said it's going to be $35,000 a year.
That's a not to exceed budget number. It may not be that high.
All right. How much is the compliance person
paid
per hour?
We don't have a person yet. We're talking either $25 to $30 maximum.
Okay.
Or less if we
can. Or less if they're willing. But the thing is, you have to understand something. I've hired a ton of people in my lifetime. If you go too cheap, you get what you pay for. If you want quality people who are doing the job and say, you know, this is pretty decent pay, I don't want to blow this, they'll do a good job and they'll be worth it. And the amount, I did have it figured out at one time. I think it's like $35 a house or something a year or something. It's not a lot of money, $40 maybe per household. It's not big money. It's very, very low. The other thing that they will be able to do, if they ride around and see an emergency, see smoke or anything, it's not like they're a fireman or police, but they'll immediately let the guard know or call 911. So it's another thing. There's another safety. What is it? $42.90 per year per household. Yeah, it's really worth it because we need to clean this up. We really do.
Do we have a lot of issues with it?
Oh, God. I went out one night on the 24th, and I had 5 gross violations. 5. And I didn't do the whole area. I did just a couple streets. That was it. Pickup trucks, multiple pickup trucks, campers, motorcycles in the middle of the sidewalk, cars covering the sidewalk, just item after item after item. I could have driven around all night.
And cars in the street.
Oh, yeah, cars in the street. Yeah, I could have driven around all night. I could have done probably, I'll bet you I could have done 25 or 30 that night easy.
Do I know that those were out all night, or were they people visiting?
I was there. No, lights were off in the house, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning. All the lights were off. So unless they do darkroom parties. But the problem is we're not here to justify what they do. We're here to make sure that they have the idea that they're not allowed to do it. And even if it was 7 o'clock at night, you can't cover a sidewalk.
Got that.
That's a rule. So that one, no matter what time of day it is. So
I have a concern with people who have people over past midnight, and
okay,
there's a car in the
if
street.
We can talk to our person we hire. They go there and they see multiple cars and the lights are on and there's a little bit of music, you know, they can hear and all. They ride around a little bit for a while and come back around 3 or so and see what's going on. We can talk to them because we're sensible people. We get a good, sensible person. Obviously, if it's 12:01 and there's people having a party, we're not writing them up. It's nonsense. So that situation would be handled.
That used to happen.
Oh, I get it.
Used to happen.
I get it. But the point is, we're not that. We are not that. So if they see something that obviously is lit up and they're having guests, then you come back around at 3 o'clock. Make a note. Come around 3 or 3:30 before you go off and see if that situation is still a party or the lights are off and all the cars are still violating. That's all. I mean, we're a learning curve on this. We all are. Let's face it. Everybody in this room, we're all on a new learning curve. We're all working here to try and work together. I'm no different than you guys. I own a house here. I'm nobody special. It's just I'm the guy that sits here. That's all. And I'm trying to do my best. These people are amazing. All amazing. All trying to help. And the only reason we're doing it is to make our neighborhood, yours, mine, everybody's neighborhood as good as it can be. That's the thing. Yes, Mark.
Just to clarify, we're obligated because of selective enforcement. If there's a rule that no pickup trucks past midnight, you know, even if you're having a party, the guy's going to have to.
Well, it's an interesting thought. Yeah.
You know, unless we change the rule and regulation,
no.
I mean, we have to. We can't be selective.
Right, we need to address that.
Yeah.
We can't say
but
we're
that's
shutting down at midnight.
Well, no, a covenant would, that's a big deal, though, to change a covenant. So if you do that, what's going to happen is you're going to start opening a crevice that'll get wider and wider. It's a tough one, but pickups after midnight are definitely, he's got a valid point or against the rules, even if they're company. We'll talk about it as time goes on, but right now I'm not going to belabor it because we could if this and if that and what that all night long here. So,
I think it's just important to know, though, that while if they see a fire or whatnot, like they could call 911, they don't have to. This person is not going to be for emergencies. They're not going to be, like, security. This is not a security person. It's simply a covenant compliance inspector. I got that.
Deadly tonight. she's deadly. No, I agree with what Yuri's saying, but anybody, any of us that was riding around saw a fire. We'd report it, but they're not obligated to do anything. She's absolutely correct, because they're not police, they're not fire, they're not EMT. But as a human being, they would let somebody know if they saw something. Yes, ma'am.
I guess I'm a teacher. I'm a rule follower.
Yes, ma'am.
But when we bought here, one of the advantages were, since we're only here like the half of the year, that there was a lot of riding around. It seems to me that if they're paying $45, maybe it should be somebody, not that's obligated to, but has an eye open and that looks irregular. That it not just be presented as rules compliant, it's presented as replacing service.
You're walking a tight line. You're walking a tight line. You have to be careful with legalities. We can ask them to be observant. We cannot force them to do anything that is like the roving patrols used to do. They were hired, they were guards, they're trained, so on. So we can ask them to be observant and say if they see something, you know, let someone know. If it's a police matter, please call the police as any citizen, but not obligated to go tearing into the house and do anything or anything like that.
Yeah.
And did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention in the discussion of eliminating roving patrol came up within the MDPOA organization. I personally called Sheriff Snyder and went over and talked to him and asked him if he had any type of programs that communities could buy into that would kind of replace roving patrol. And he said, I used to have agreements with some communities. He said, I only have one left. It's the only one that I'm honoring right now. And I said, well, if you change your mind, can you tell me what something like this would cost? He said, $60 an hour, 3 hours a night. But he says, I don't have the personnel or I don't have a car. I don't have people to do that. So I'm really not interested in being a compliance officer. So what we are offering is to try to catch people running stop signs and speeding. So even at $60 an hour, if you had the sheriff in here, they don't want to be a compliance officer. They don't want to report their covenants. They're looking for traffic violations, et cetera.
Yeah.
So we did go down that alley. As y'all know, MDPOA also outsourced the guard service to a company called Allied Security. It was just not sustainable to have your own staff, your own security manager, your own training, pay for uniforms, pay for insurance, etc. And it was costing this neighborhood roughly $140,000 a year for moving control. And, you know, I personally didn't make that decision. I've been accused of it. But there was a board that runs MDPOA, 53 members, and they voted 52-1 to eliminate roving patrol. They voted 53-0 to outsource the guards at the gate. So just to give you a little perspective there. I recently talked to Allied to see if they would be interested in covenants compliance monitoring. They're not very interested in it because they want somebody to work 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
They want to provide a car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they want a lot of money.
Yeah, no.
So if this approach will work, certainly to our benefit. That's my personal opinion.
And the issue with having someone for security is that there's a lot of legal things attached to it. Like they have to have their own vehicle, they have to have a supervisor, they have to have training for it. The insurance, it just adds a lot more to that would not be affordable for
them. And this will, the main problem we have, I think this will solve. I mean, we don't have a great deal of time, I don't think, that I'm aware of. And because we do at least have the guards at the gate, that stopgaps a lot of problems. But the thing is, it is a pair of eyes riding around clients, and maybe they see something. Hey, that looks funny. I'm going to call. Hey, you can call me. I'll be glad to get the call. Hey, Joe, this looks funny. Fine, we'll check it out. But the point is, what we have now is zero, nothing. And it's looking like wet when you go out and ride around. Get up at 1 o'clock and ride around. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. You really will.
Yeah, I woke at 5:30.
Okay, you say it. Yeah, and I get neighbors telling me. Everybody tells me. Anyway.
And one of the things, too, if the cars are parked in the street overnight, one of the reasons not to do that is because if you park your car in the street overnight, you go to bed, then you're gone. And if a fire truck comes through, it may not be able to get through the street. And if during the day they can make you move your car, but at night they are not going to knock down your door and try to get your car because they don't know whose car belongs to. So it's really a safety issue for the community as well. And if you have a party that's rocking after midnight, then God bless you.
Put the truck in the backyard.
As many cars in the driveway as possible, or I don't know if letting the office would know, but if they're not going to be there until 4 in the morning, it's not going to make a difference.
Well, there is always the fact that there is something that I'd like to look into, and this is all subject. Real quick, I'll get away from it. We have a sign down at the pool that says no overnight parking.
Right.
Okay, yet we allow parking here. I think with the proper guidelines. Right. I know. But I'm saying we really need to look at the idea of that permission and also include the swimming pool area parking lot. I'm not saying we're doing it. I'm not saying it's my decision. I'm saying it's a thought I think would help us, because then if you're having a party and one of the guys has a pickup, hey, Billy, take your pickup down. You know, I'll call the office. I'll get permission. You can put it there, and it's not on the street. It's not at the house. It's just a thought. I'm trying, like he said, the thing is you're trying to work with people.
Right.
We don't want to be the Gestapo. We do want the rules enforced, but if we've got a parking lot sitting there and it's out of sight and they get permission, I just think it's something that can be visited. I just don't see why that would be a problem. Or they could put it up here, either way, But just a thought going forward. But it's not on the agenda. We got to just move.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Go ahead with
the
budget.
I went through it quickly. Are there any questions on anything?
I just have one observation just to clarify to the audience. So this quarterly assessment is based on this budget. It's split out 4 quarters, or is it just the remainder of the 3 quarters?
For 4 quarters.
Okay, so the first quarter that's already been invoiced out, how is that?
We've talked about this. This is going to be a little bit. So when you pay your next quarterly assessment that's going to be coming up for the second quarter, you'll pay the lower assessment, and then you'll also be getting a credit for what you overpaid for the first assessment. So it's going to be a little bit more for the second quarter.
And then it'll go away?
And then it'll go away.
Then it'll go away.
Joe, yeah.
I don't know. Actually, I think I might have mentioned that in passing to her. Maybe. I'm not positive because we did talk one day for an hour or two. So I might have mentioned that to her, but maybe not. But it's a little hurdle we got to figure out. It's got to be fixed. It's
right.
Not a ton of money, but we'll fix it.
If they've already paid, we've already paid, then next we'll have we'll have to pay this, but we've already are going to get credit back towards this.
Except the single family homes. They're a couple dollars up. So we'll owe a little bit more from the single family homes, but not much. Like $10 or something, whatever. And so that's what we've got. But we'll get through it and we'll get the credits issued.
If you'll just bear with us, it's been a really tough time to get taking a lot of work with a lot of people. Everybody up there has been working on
it. And other may ask a question?
Sure.
Is it possible, I'm just thinking from a bookkeeper standpoint, to calculate and amend the budget based on the fact that the quarterly assessment, after the first quarterly assessment, starting with the second, third, and fourth quarterly, that way changes, just a thought, I'm just throwing that out there. So you're being consistent going forward, and there's no credits and debits, and I think it,
I don't know. I'm doing a calculation. I see where he's going.
I know where you're going.
Doing a calculation so you just pay what you get
Let
in your next bill. And it, you do it three times, and the credit is
still averaged out to the same amount.
Yeah,
same.
It would be the same. It would be the same. And I don't know that I'd have a problem with that. What do you think, Tim?
Can I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
There are a lot of residents that still haven't paid the first quarter.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hold on. Let me finish my thought. You need to have them pay that first quarter amount.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I think Terry will be able to electronically generate those credits, and it may not be quite as bad as we're all thinking.
I don't think it will be. It shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, but the last thing we need is people see these numbers, and that's the number that comes in this quarter, instead of paying what it was, bill debt.
Right.
And then Terry's got a mess.
We've
got a mess.
Yeah. That would be a bookkeeping nightmare. We have to encourage everybody to pay the invoice they got. It's not going to cost them a penny more over the year. It just will help a great deal to do this
At the end of the day, we're going to make them pull.
Yes.
Okay.
They're going to get credit.
Exactly.
For what they overpaid.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let me ask you a question. If we did the budget the other way, where we left the first quarter at 1501 and then put these other three quarters, or I go from 1501 because that's where I left.
Yeah.
We go from the first quarter the way it was and then recalculate the next three quarters based on that. Tim, is that a legal budget? Can we do it?
That's a great question.
I don't know if we can.
That's an excellent question.
I don't know if we can.
I think that makes it more complicated. I think
you got a bill based on the approved budget.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we do.
It's literally simple math. It's like this number minus this number equals this. Yeah. And then we get on the credit.
Yeah.
No, I think
right.
We need to do it this way.
Listen, the second quarter billing will be their cheapest quarter of the year.
Absolutely.
And then when they get to the third quarter and fourth quarter, it'll be as budgeted.
Correct.
As
right. Yeah. I think, well, Terry, we need to talk to Terry.
I'll talk to Terry.
You
right.
talk to her.
I think it's, like Terry said, it's a little bit of math. Just pay your first quarter as it has been received, and then let the office do the bookkeeping for the second.
Yeah. It'll all work out. At the end of the year, you won't spend a penny more.
Yeah.
Everyone will be all whole.
Yeah.
Actually, by the second quarter, if it works out well, by the end of the second quarter, paid here, now you pay here, but it also incorporates the credit.
Right.
So
I will interject that the payment flow for the first 2 weeks, week and a half of January, and the last week of December has been excellent.
Good.
The rate of pay
has
gone well. So
okay.
I don't think we've got a major issue.
I don't either, I think everybody understands we're working really hard to make it as accessible for everybody as we can.
Yeah. It's a team effort to get everybody home and no special assessments and lower quarterly bills. That was the whole thing. And thank God, sitting up there at that church several weeks back, I'm not happy. Not happy at all. None of us were. But this is a miracle. This is amazing. We did really, everybody involved did an amazing, amazing job. So we're good. Anything on the budget before we vote?
Well, I was going to say, you need a motion.
Yes, sir.
Well, but
yes, sir.
I just have a problem with this. Compliance captain, unless we're going to say amongst ourselves we're going to work to make it equitable for people who stay up past midnight. Because there's a lot of us who do.
Bill, you have a vote, so you can take your vote. We'll do what we do, and you
vote. I know, but I'm just voicing it so it's something we can talk about. Like
That's why you have discussion after a motion and a second.
I'm with you.
Okay, so what I need then at this point is a motion to approve this budget as Carol has presented. Carol, what's the name? Patty has. That's right. I still call Melanie Carol.
Carol did it too.
Patty has presented. I need a motion for this budget.
Can I make that motion?
Sure.
I make the motion to approve the budget as presented.
Can I get a second?
I said you should make the motion.
Okay. Can I get a second? Thank you. Yuri makes a second. All right. Now discussion. You can present your thoughts if you wish.
It's just like I said. I'm just. I haven't seen those issues, but I have a problem with, because I've had that happen. We've had people over, and all of a sudden we got a letter because it was past midnight, and there was cars parked in the street and on their driveway. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's no different than when we had roving patrol. This is
right. That's what I'm saying.
This is all
so
the same.
That's all my issue okay. with it.
That's all right. Well,
we can discuss that and become neighbors and say, hey, we can work around that somehow.
Well, as long as it falls within the rules, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It has to fall within the rules. If we can work something out, like I said, parking elsewhere. And if you're really serious about this party and it's so important to be up to 2 in the morning, I know a great parking lot at Publix. You can park your pickups and everything.
I live here.
I get it. But what I'm saying is we're trying to live within rules. We're trying to give people every advantage. We can't reinvent the wheel. It rolls as it rolls. And rules are rules. Okay. And until someone has us change the rules, then and it takes a lot to change those particular rules, we will be as kind as we can, but we're going to enforce. So, I mean, you have your right to your vote. Tim, anything?
I just want to ask Bill, were you actually fined for those fractions?
No, I was sent a notification.
Sent a warning.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay, can I, then we have a motion and a second, then I will ask for a vote and show of hands to approve the amended budget. All those in favor?
Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. God, I'm forgetting. She's our member at large. She can't vote for it. Okay, so.
Is there a way we can maybe ask the attendance first before we make a vote, just like any concerns that they may have?
We're going to ask them, but it's not. That's not business. The business is to approve the budget. We'll ask, let them ask all the questions they want.
Well, as far as passing the insecurity, the only question, like, I have a little concern with if, you know, people are driving, let's say there's a lot of wildlife that coyotes that have been through the community, bobcat, you know, strictly hiring just to find people as opposed to, you know, if there is, let's say you see somebody suspicious on the side of somebody's house and it's 1 o'clock in the morning. If that's incorporated, then I think that's great. Or if they can make a phone call.
Well, you're getting back into the legality situation.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting into a huge liability.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Huge. Yeah.
So you have to be very careful.
I have three numbers. 911.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I don't get to be funny.
Yeah.
No, that's but what if somebody doesn't see that and the roving security?
Well, no. We will ask him not to get involved.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
If he drives by, we will ask him if he's okay with.
Yeah.
He can call me, the gate, and I don't care.
Me as well.
But we can't designate this as an enforceable person or a policeman or a patrol because the legalities, the insurance, the whole thing goes through the roof. We have zero now. We're trying to improve on that.
Yeah.
And if he sees something out of line, hopefully he'll say, gee, that doesn't look right. I'm going to tell somebody. Patty.
Comment or question. If we have this person, Tim, this is probably a question for you. The people, the guards at the gatehouse, what professional level are they? So, like, if this guy saw something, could he report it to the guards at the gatehouse and then they're responsible?
Well, they're de-licensed security person.
Uh-huh.
But they are not a law enforcement person. They cannot administer first aid.
But to call 911.
They are instructed if a resident calls there, most of the time they will ask the resident to call 911.
Yeah, of course. Right. Of course.
Because anytime you've got a handoff of information, it's going to get changed.
Exactly.
Right. Yep.
So, I mean, they will under certain circumstances, but they would probably tell the resident to call 911 because they've got the first-hand information as to what's going on.
Well, and this position also will be interviewed and whatnot, and so, like, during that interview, we can make sure that, you know, like, things that we're hopeful that they can do
but not officially.
Like, for example, if, like, our pool of people includes, like, you know, retired police officers, mm-hmm. then we know that they have that ability to, you know, just, like, pick up the phone and call 911 and they can identify those situations.
Yeah.
So I think on that end, it also gives us a little room for that. It just not officially.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful.
They'll have a job description.
Yes.
Job
right.
description. We'll know their abilities.
Yeah.
The thing, just quickly on the roving patrol that we did have, you know, everybody liked it and they felt comfortable, but they could not, as Tim said, do anything,
no.
come on the property or anything. So this is, and people got conditioned, okay, they're watching, but you still have to watch out for each other. Because, you know, people want to come in, they're going to come in. And bringing this in, I think it's a great idea because it's going to stop these violations and keep this neighborhood, our community, as beautiful as it is.
And also, every single person has any time request extra patrolling from law enforcement. If there's any concerns or just possible concerns or whatnot, you can always call the sheriff's office and do that for extra patrolling for the week or whatever from the sheriff's office. They do that. I just didn't say that they did that. They do that.
This person report to our property manager?
And the board.
Yeah, and the board.
That's the way we've been, that's the way it's been envisioned at this point.
Yeah.
So it's going to have multiple points of contact?
Well,
no.
It's availability.
Kind of like a place of like one through
yeah.
however.
Yeah, Mark's not on property. So
right.
then what? So I'm right there.
And
you know,
and
you have
I'm
an issue,
right.
call Neil. Call,
right.
You know, yeah.
Right
they, it's not that everybody's going to say, he's not going to say, you do this. She says, do
no.
that. No. It's just that if he has a concern, but he's
well,
not going to
that was my first question.
Yeah.
Who's responsible for that person to make sure they're doing their job appropriately? Is that our property manager?
Well, when he's here, well, he's not ever
no,
going to be here with the guy.
The next day he would be.
Yeah,
well,
the next day.
Call him in to meet with him.
Yes,
right.
yeah, yeah.
Right.
And I'm just wondering because,
well, there's going to be a lot of.
Did you get a copy of the job description? I think it was in the package.
Yeah, provided.
I think it would help.
Yeah, there's
going to
be.
Mainly from Mark.
Right.
That's not a job.
Before we try to build the pyramids here, everything is in a working state, and we're going to refine it to make it work right. It's not going to be the perfect, you know, item at the moment. We're going to work on it. We'll get this right, and we'll make it work. That's what we do. That's what we do. And as far as, yeah, no, I understand. I understand. And that's why we have discussion after the second motion is in play. We have discussion. So you're perfectly right to have discussion. I'm not out to be, you know, the super Nazi about people that break the rules. But what I am saying is, what I saw really was just callous and didn't care. I saw a motorcycle right in the middle of the sidewalk. When, if you don't put it in the garage, okay, it's a violation. But why not put it in the driveway? We have elderly people. My next door neighbor is 90. She goes on a walker at 5:36 o'clock in the morning and walks. I don't need her tripping over something. It was a white motorcycle. In the dark, you can hardly see it.
20-year-old tripping.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying these are things, and cars parked across the sidewalk, that lady would have to go out in the street and walk. No, this is why we have the rules. We're going to enforce the rules. If somebody doesn't like the rules, I'm sorry, but we're going to enforce them. We will try to be as nice as we can with the party or whatever. We'll figure out some options on that. But we're not here to make it perfect for the people who violate. We're here to make the rules enforced. That's our job. And this guy is not going to be somebody that has a vendetta. He could care less. You know, all right, I saw the violation. I'm reporting it. I took a picture. It's done and so forth. That's it. So
this was the first discussion on it anyway,
yeah.
and we'll be
yeah.
discussing it more.
Of course.
To think about what we're doing. Want to hear from our residents, too.
Yeah.
You have every right to send it in. So it's just something that's in play right now.
It's the first. It's the
together.
Very first.
Yeah.
And Phil, if you have, I mean, the name of it is, feel free, come up with a name.
I don't care.
As far as the job description, but actually the name is actually important because it conveys the responsibility
yes.
portion of it. So the way that you title it is very important. And as far as the job description, if you want to make it more specific, please weigh in. This
yeah.
is the collaborative effort.
Can
yeah.
you
please?
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, we have
the
motion. Second.
And one knowledge workshop coming up so
right.
that we can bring up. I know that at least a lot of people in Lakemont have been bringing up the issue of the pickups and being allowed and whatnot. So that's something that you know we can definitely bring up and discuss and talk about at that
right.
workshop.
Yeah, and like I said, we want it in the budget is what it is. The people
right.
who are for it want it in the budget. We'll refine the position and make it work the best we can.
I do think it's a good idea to hear from the people, though, because...
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Right.
Yes,
ma'am. Just to follow up, when my kids come down, I call I call the office when my kids come down and say they're going to be here for a week. If somebody's having a party, there should be a way to call whether they call
Lisa's
on,
yes.
And then we notify the compliance officer that on this day, this time there's a party, don't have to let
it. Very good idea.
Yeah,
very good.
That's all workable. It's all workable. It's an infancy right now, so obviously it's something that'll grow up and we'll make it work. It's just we want it in there because it's needed, and we'll refine it as we go. And everybody has an eraser on their pencil, me included. We'll fix it.
Yeah.
If something needs to be adjusted, we'll adjust it. But we definitely want it in there so we've got something to enforce rules, especially when they're not parties. A great deal of these, I didn't see one party when I was out that night with the five gross violations, and I only went through a couple streets. There was no lights on. Not a light on. Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. I am calling for a vote on this. All those in favor, show of hands. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. We've got unanimous on the budget. Six. Yes.
He voted.
Bill voted.
He voted.
He's a man.
Thank you.
He's already picking up the gauntlet. He's working with us. Okay, we're good.
I don't know if I could do too many more of these.
The budgets or the meetings?
The budget.
You better be ready to do the meetings. Okay, so we have the budget. Now, is there anything else? You guys are part of this. This is your neighborhood just like us. I pushed to get our business done, but I want to hear from you guys. Go ahead. Yes?
I'm confused at this point. I live in a single-family home. Is there an assessment or is there not an assessment?
No, there's no special assessment for anybody. When we say assessment, we mean the quarterly assessment that you always pay. Yeah, nobody has a special assessment, not a soul.
Thanks.
Sure, glad to do it. Yes?
Was an email sent out about this meeting tonight? I know I didn't get an email.
This meeting was announced the 23rd of December. It had to be. It's a 14-day requirement because of the budget. So it was way back, so you might have missed it or what have you, but there was, the office put it out as normal. Whatever the normal channel is, Lois and Jennifer, they took care of it in all the normal fashion, but it was quite a while ago because of the 14-day requirement.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
Is the normal pattern an email?
Yes, ma'am, it's an email. Well, there's a form that you can fill out that gives us permission to send you important information from the association, activities that are going on, and that also allows us to notify you officially of official meetings. But it requires you to fill out that form.
And how would that be? Through a text or just through an email?
Yeah, just an email.
You would receive that.
Okay, I also would comment that the notice, as you leave the meadows, that one, that was pretty absurd. That's like 12
a little small.
I
didn't see it. I cheated. I knew about the meeting.
It's also
on the, I believe it's also on the website, on the in-house channel.
And I think they put it on, pretty sure that Tim puts it on the Facebook communication, puts it on Facebook. So we try. In fact, we're implementing something if people do use Facebook. I don't, but that's another story. Bottom line is you go on there, you can check, yes, I'm coming, no, I won't, because this worked out great tonight, but we could have had a situation where we had 100 people. So if you look on Facebook and say yes, and we see 100, I have got the church. That's my baby. I'm the St. Vincent de Paul over there, so I have control over that auditorium. I can get it like that. And we're only paying $300 for that, as opposed to they used to pay $700 for manual. So it's very inexpensive, and we've got all the equipment, and I even went at my expense and bought one of these. So we have alternatives. If people want to have big meetings, we have the alternative. We can have big meetings. Okay? So anybody else have anything in the audience want to hear from you? If you've got any concerns, thoughts, suggestions, as long as you don't have any tomatoes to launch, we're good. Anything good? Yes, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yuri had mentioned something about a meeting coming up for trucks and other stuff. And is that already scheduled? That's the next government meeting?
On the 10th.
7 p.m.
on the 10th here.
Yeah.
Just,
and then that's going to be, you're going to be going over new things that the board wants to address related to the covenant?
Yeah, just to clarify, that meeting is primarily to review architectural guidelines. There was a 14-day notice requirement on that. I'm sorry, tonight's the workshop, that night's the workshop, so there's no 14-day notice on that, but there will be a notice after that for when the vote is taken. But it's primarily to cover issues and rules and regulations, architectural guidelines, landscape guidelines. The covenants, the governing documents, was not intended to come up. It's a much more arduous process to go through and make changes. The pickup trucks is a covenant issue. So if an amendment to the governing documents, which the covenants are part of, there's a significantly greater requirement to go through and make a change there, which would require going through legal and all kinds of issues. It can be done, and it has been done before, but this is a little bit different process.
This workshop is addressing art and landscape.
And rules and regulations.
Yeah. There's no talk or anything about changing the rules on pickup trucks that I'm aware of. I mean, people talk about it, but the board has had no discussion, direction, desire to change what is. And that's a whole big can of worms. Been on had that fight in the past. It gets ugly when you have problems.
Recently, there was a news, something down in California. There was sometimes a neighborhood that they got sued for not letting pickup trucks in. And
they can sue, but they'll lose.
Yeah. No, I'm not aware.
Well, if you have enough people, if the neighborhood is a private neighborhood, if it's privately owned, which the Meadows is, you can't put some of the onuses on. You can do other areas, and that would be a fight that I don't think we would lose. I really don't. But that's my opinion.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is since you said something about pickup trucks.
Weren't you referring to people saying they sold pickup trucks around Lakemont? Isn't that what you were talking about?
No, I have had a lot of Lakemont residents and even not Lakemont residents that have come up and have texted and emailed and whatnot about changing that.
That happens in every neighborhood, I can tell you. And
well, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, and that's why we all have our own vote. We all, do our own thing. But I can tell you this much. If you want to talk to the president of Oak Ridge, he'll tell you it was the worst decision he was ever a part of in his life.
Yep.
Okay?
It depends on how you
can't
limit it. And
you can't, Yuri.
But you can, though. Legally speaking, you can. There's a lot of HOAs that have done it and have done it successfully. And in Florida as well, I have read up on it. There are a lot of guidelines and regulations that you can implement to not have it be a mess, and actually works out very well. I think decades ago, before I was born, just kidding, there were a lot of different types of pickup trucks. That I think now it has changed a lot, and again, there's a lot of rules that you can impose as far as height and tire size and size.
If not factory delivered vehicle, your problem is if someone buys a factory delivered vehicle, been there, had this fight. If they get delivered a factory legal, totally no customizing. You can't stop it. If you let the one pickup in, that's the four-door sedan, beautiful, clean, white thing that looks like an SUV with the back cut off, and Junior goes out and gets the 48-inch wheels with the diesel stacks and the whole thing, came from the factory that way, you can't fight it. Trust me.
Well, we've been fighting that right now.
This is kind of a fight for another day.
Yeah. It is. But I'm just saying, it's not as simple as it sounds, folks. Been there, had this fight before, and it gets really ugly. And if you go to Oak Ridge, they not only are losing the battle on what kind of truck, but they've got commercial trucks they're fighting with. People are now leaving out trailers, boats. It's a mess.
Okay. I have one, Art, when you're ready.
Go ahead. I was just saying.
I have another housekeeping issue.
Wow.
Because I joined the board, I was chairman of the Covens Committee.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And as chairman of the Covens Committee, I cannot serve on the board. And then I've taken the position as a director on the board. I am resigning from the Covens Committee, and
Carol, who I must say has been a phenomenal director, she's a good, good, good person, to go out. She's knocked on doors. She talks to all of her people. She's really good. And she's also volunteered to chair the Covenants Committee.
Okay.
So I would like to make a motion to appoint Carol Tannenbaum as chairperson of the Covenants Committee.
Can I get a second on that, please? Okay. Do we have any discussion? I then would ask for a vote. All those that approve of Carol.
Just to clarify, the motion included your resignation as well as the appointment.
Correct.
Yes, yes. And I get a vote, show of hands, of appointing Carol Tannenbaum to be the Covenants Director.
And accepting Patty.
And accepting Patty's resignation. Okay. All right. So you're abstaining? Okay. So we have six.
I don't want you to resign.
Six.
Huh?
I don't want you to resign.
I can't do both.
Okay, so we have, so Carol, where are you? You're stuck with it. So there. Yes, ma'am.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I know you're from Lakemont. Is there nobody that lives in Lakemont that has a pickup?
There's a lot of people that do, and what they're doing right now, which this is my issue with it, you can have it during the day, you just can't have it from midnight to 6 o'clock.
Here at night.
They park it at Publix, and then they have to cross which in other HOAs people have gotten run over during that, and they've actually sued the HOA because of that, and they've won. So that's a risk in itself. From when I was first approached with it, the guys that talked to me about it have this like midnight club, I guess, where they go to park there, walk over here, walk to the home, pick them up so they can go to their home. And again, it's only from
the next box. Well, but the pickups up here.
Yeah, they ask permission, yeah.
And
RVs.
Yep. And then if we have a meeting, there's no parking. And there's no parking.
Well, that's another reason that I brought up the fact I really would like us to talk and visit about the fact of using the pool parking lot for those purposes, because there's all that space just sitting there.
Yeah, they're supposed to contact the office, ask permission. If we give them permission, typically we give them a maximum of 3 days in a row, those guests. If not, then they have to make arrangements to go over to Publix.
Yeah. If there was a perfect world, I'd sell it to you. Trust me. There isn't.
Mark, is that list of who we're giving permission to is given to the guard gate?
No, because they will not do anything with regard to it. It's just for our knowledge to know which vehicles are there and to have a process where people would get permission to do that. And for the primary purpose of what this young lady said, and that is if we're having a meeting on a particular night or if there's another activity, say, okay, you can do it, but it has to be in after 9 o'clock in the evening or something like that, so we can instruct them when it would be appropriate to park the vehicle there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point. Anyone else out there? Yes?
I get notifications about the meeting, but then we never see any information after that. Like, I've checked the Meadows website, I've checked the Hotwire, there's never any recap. Yes.
No.
Post.
Oh. Minutes are on the website.
Minutes are on the website, I'm told, sir.
And the recordings.
And the recordings.
The recordings. And the Facebook as well, they've been posting the recordings. And the
Board of Directors page, if you look
at the one meeting cut off after the 40 minutes. Yeah,
right, okay. But the website, apparently the minutes are there, and you said the Facebook?
But
okay.
They have to be approved, so they're delayed.
Yeah, they have to be approved, so they're a little bit of a delay. Correct, thank you.
There's all the minutes, everything, agendas, everything.
Okay, anybody else?
So the minutes will be delayed, they have to approve the first.
I'll go to them. I just like to do the audience first because they're sitting here and make sure they got a chance. So anybody else in the audience would like to comment? We'll go to the phone. Anything? Okay. Is there someone on the phone that would like to speak?
My name is Jenny Boatwright.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to commend everyone who worked on the insurance so diligently, and I know it was very difficult. And I appreciate it very much.
You're more than welcome.
Very welcome.
We're all residents, and we're glad to do it. Thank you.
And
anyone else?
For doing it.
You're welcome.
This is
you're very welcome.
This is Barry Graber. I have two questions.
Yes, sir.
One, I didn't quite hear what the new assessment for the quarterly assessment for the Capri is. I think it was 14, and then I didn't hear the rest of it.
1,448.
Did you get that, sir?
I did. Okay. My other question
you understand
was,
what went into that, right? There was more into it than just a simple. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're building a savings fund for the insurance, some money for the landscape, and we're doing a general savings fund. And let me comment real quick on that. We're doing everything we're supposed to and legally do to fund reserves, but what we're not going to do is put money into a statutory reserve and overfund it and lock up the money. This way it creates a great deal of aggravation and expense with the attorney to get it out. So we're putting everything we're supposed to put in reserve. Nothing's being shorted, but we're putting this insurance savings into a savings account. So it's available. Okay. You don't need it for the insurance. It can be used for anything else. It's not one of those things that pigeonhole, okay? But thank you for your question. Anything else, sir?
I have one other question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
What is the rule if you pull into the residence lane at the guard gate, you're in the residence lane, and you don't have a sticker on your windshield or your window to let you in? What should happen at that point?
Mark, go ahead. I'll let you take that one.
Typically what happens if someone comes up to the resident side and they don't have any kind of decal, or the only thing the guard can do is go out there and communicate with them, say, hey, look, turn around or come through the other line. Other than that, everyone should have either a barcode or they're required to go through the guest side. Tim, do you have anything to add on that?
No, they try to gather information as to who the person is. If they can get enough information to let them through, they will, or they will back them up and
turn them
around. Put them in the visitor's
lane. Well, the biggest problem is you get three residents behind them, and that creates the quagmire.
Wait a second, though. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You get three people behind you, and you get a quagmire because the person's in the wrong lane.
Right.
And they're not supposed to be there. But I can tell you I've witnessed two separate times where that happened and they just let them through. And that is not right. We talk about concern about vehicles parked all over the place in the evening. What I would be concerned about is them letting people through that shouldn't be let through. And then you start having cars broken into at night like they have in communities that aren't gated. So my feeling is I don't believe the guards, and I've heard this from other people too, I don't believe the guards are doing what they should when someone's in the wrong lane, because twice I've witnessed them go through and the guard never come out of the building, out of the guardhouse. So
I believe
y'all need to investigate that, because that is more dangerous, in my opinion, in this world we live in, than people parking in the driveway, which is, I understand the rules and abide by them 100%, but I think Allied Security is slack in that. I remember when the other group was there, and I can't remember the guy's name, his last name, but Jeff, he wouldn't let you in there unless you had the driver's license and you had to document, he had to know who you were to get in there. And I don't think that's going on. And I just think y'all need to take a closer look at it. And that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, we appreciate your comments, and Mark's making notes since you can't see. And on that note, we're working on the idea of doing these with something that I'm too old to know about, but called Zoom or something. But that's why we have Yuri to figure that kind of stuff out. But we're going to talk about that. But you can't see it, but Mark is making notes since you said that. And I will add, I have seen the exact same thing, and you get preoccupied and forget to mention it, and I should.
Yep.
But
yep.
You're absolutely right. I've seen it.
You need a better sign there.
What sign, ma'am?
When you come in.
Oh, residence. Yeah.
They have to use a ladder.
Yeah, I get it.
They really don't have.
Yeah,
the
but
sign.
It doesn't. People don't always see the sign. In my life, I've pulled up the toll booths on the interstate or the turnpike and be in the wrong lane. It happens. But
yeah.
The bottom line is, in a neighborhood that's gated, where security is important, where I
yeah.
see a lot of folks my age and younger, older, and especially women walking in the evening in dark.
Yep. Yeah.
You want to know who the heck's in your neighborhood, and we should not be letting people in that don't live here or have a reason to be here that the resident has left a message for that person to be able to get in. That's the only way it should happen. If it doesn't happen that way, you guys are setting yourself up for a problem. And
we agree. And there is, if I'm not mistaken, a camera that still gets the tag on residents.
Yeah. And a lot of times what happens is that, like, if it's raining and whatnot, then the barcodes sometimes don't work. So then you get stuck in there until it reads it. And I'm pretty sure they check the tag before they let them in. Or I've seen it happen. And
they
don't have the barcode, then they make them, like, go backwards and then go to the other side.
Well, yeah, unless you got...
I've never seen them get out of the guardhouse.
Yeah, the simple thing, and I appreciate your comments, sir, and Yuri's and everybody's. I think the simple thing to do is exactly what Mark's doing. He's making notes that we will absolutely talk, and, of course, Tim has a firsthand ear on that. We will ask them to make sure that people have said they have seen this, so please make sure that no one gets in that is erroneous. So you're right.
That's right.
We'll try and correct this by going to the proper channels.
I agree.
Alrighty, sir. Thank you.
That's all I got.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Anyone else on the phone?
I got a question.
No.
Okay, then I go back. Oh, go, 1 second. Go ahead, Dean.
Just remember, this coming Friday and Saturday, we'll be coming to get the decal.
Oh, yeah.
Barcodes.
Pardon. Well, no, decal.
Yeah, it's a decal.
Yeah.
2023. Tim. When somebody is a cheer to get that, do they have to go to MDPOA? If they're, you know, they're not here on the Friday or Saturday,
yeah.
They go to MDPOA.
Well, the procedure is if they come through, if they're not here, there's a procedure where they can, a homeowner can call in ahead of time. If we put them on a list so that they don't get charged from our standpoint. Now, MDPOA will charge no matter what if they're late.
Okay. Call in the office. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Get on the list, and then they'll call to make an appointment, correct?
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And yes?
With regard to the insurance coverage and just the different amounts, the higher amount, and now the amount that you all have gotten. Is the coverage the same?
Better. That was the beauty of it.
It's hard to comprehend how...
isn't it? We now have a 3% deductible, which my math is probably going to go crazy here, but it was a few million dollars of loss risk that we got rid of. But it was a 3% deductible instead of the 5% with the $850,000 premium.
I thought it was still a lot.
Yeah. No, it's 3%. Now, she offered both to make the comparison to what Keith did.
Oh, we have that sheet.
Yeah. But you've got it here. But no, it is 3%. And there were other coverages that weren't even in the other policy with American Coastal that Joanne was able to get for us. So the answer is absolutely the policy was a better policy.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also went back to see if I could find any record of receiving an email regarding this meeting.
Okay. No?
No.
The other thing, like I said,
it's important that email.
Are you on the list where you get emails?
They have to look at Facebook. They have to look at the channel and the website. And
I get it.
To do that.
I get it. Yeah, it should have come to you. We're sorry that it missed you. Why don't you double check with the office?
Well, I think
I've seen it.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. There was one last question. I thought I saw a hand. Anybody? Okay, we're done with the phone. We're done with this. Anybody on the board? Yes. Any folks have anything you want
to
add?
I'll motion to adjourn. I second the motion.
I think they just told me to shut up. Okay. That's all right. We have a motion to adjourn in a second. Can I get a vote from the board on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
It is good. It is 8:12.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being gracious. It's such a pleasure to be able to get a copy of this. First I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't had that?
No, this is what I was.
Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, that's my bad. I
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
A rabbit, and it was
all on July.
I've seen coyotes, bobcats, and you know, I have two little kids, so.
And I remember there was, we stayed in a, we had a hotel.
Hi.
Is it Mary or Marion?
Marion.
Marion?
M-A-R-I-O-N. We're talking about. And so we were the.
I have it. Sorry. Yeah. That's what I have. I saw it on my ring camera. I know I have it.
There's a lot of plants that they don't want that are pretty
scary.
I know. I have to sign up for
Are they going to give him some revised phone?
Hey, you need a hand?
Let
me help you. Want me to carry this for you? Do you want me to carry this for you?
No.
You sure?
Are they going to give us a revised?
Yes. You don't get that in the mouth.
I don't have to remember 1440.
I had a few people say, hey, should we do this? I had one when I first came here, right? And then I got rid of it and bought an SUV.
Oh, I see.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, good luck.
Give me your name and number, and I will ask the powers.
It looks like we're not going to get back.
What's your name, sir?
It's Rick.
I'll do that.
His name is Ammon A.
Maryland man, huh?
Yeah, actually New York.
That's Annapolis, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm
a yacht broker. I've been there many times.
The only reason we're doing
I was there for 20 years. Came down from there. I've been snowboarding for 903. I bailed out of New York in 2002, and I'm glad I did.
Oh, I'm sure I bailed out of Jersey in 89.
Oh, yeah.
South Jersey. So these are aliens. I will definitely ask. Like I said, I can't tell you.
We need cheap rent because we only put $1 a meeting or $2 a meeting into the basket.
Right, yeah. No, I will ask. And you're a parishioner there at the church?
I've been to services. Yeah, I'm Catholic.
No. I mean, I didn't know if they had you on the line.
No, probably.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I'm a cash guy. The basket comes around.
I get it. I will hold
the boy from a Catholic high school.
I was Catholic grade school. They beat the crap out of me, and every time I deserved it.
It ends up.
That's the reason I turned out okay.
See, my mother said no to Catholic grammar school because they had 60 kids in class, and the public school
I can
had
beat that.
30.
I can beat that.
70.
Sister Rose DeShannel, 92 in my second state. And you know what? You can see the grass grow out.
But she was old.
Oh, yeah. You did not mess with Sister Rose DeShannel.
So I want
you to thank you.